to an hour of Mind Power. My goodness, if some of you have been having challenges with hearing the program, well, just know that we have been working through some technological difficulties, and we are hoping to have them cleared up for you. Meanwhile, today is an open mic day, so many of you out there are celebrating Labor Day, and I just hope wherever you are, you're having a fabulous time. I know here in the Pacific Northwest, the weather is breathtakingly gorgeous. So no matter where you are, what you're doing, just be safe and happy and just have a great time. And I'm so glad you're able to join me this afternoon. Now, by the way, our telephone lines are open. 877-876-5227 is our telephone number locally here in the U.S. If you'd like to give me a call, 877-876-5227 or toll free from Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And also our direct line is 530-876-9146. That's 530-876-9146. Well, I want to thank those of you that have sent me emails. I've gotten so many wonderful stories and points of information. I'm going to be able to share them with you today because we have an open mic. I have a recipe for brownies if you're in a hurry and you're so busy, school's in place pretty soon and everything's just going 10,000 miles an hour. Well, I want you to know I've got a wonderful brownie recipe. If you want to take it along to that special class meeting with your kids or just having something fast and easy to do where it's the least amount of effort, well, I'm going to have some of that to share with you too. Also, we're going to be talking about sounds and how they can be, again, they can make such a difference with you and how you feel about life. So we are just going to have a relaxed, easygoing hour here today, and you are more than welcome to give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 or from Canada, 888-810-8322. There's so often attitudes that we have, and we sometimes get them just because it's a habit, and we think that we are supposed to respond or react in a certain way. And often it carries over into our working environment. And there was a guy by the name of Joe, and he went into his boss, and he was sort of whiny, and he was saying, you know, boss, we're hungry. I thought you said you'd send out for lunch so we could meet the deadline on packing up this month's orders. We've got so much to do. Well, his boss responded and said, yes, I did. I sent Ted out about an hour ago. Oh, no, you didn't send Ted, did you? Oh, you should never have sent Ted. And the boss said, well, what's the matter with Ted? He's a real nice guy. He said, boss never fails. Something's going to distract him, and he's going to forget all about our food, not to mention the fact that we won't see him again for hours, which means we'll all have to cover for him while he's gone. On empty stomachs, I might add. Well, just as Joe was finishing up his statement, Ted rushes in. He's clutching a piece of paper. He's so excited. He says, you'll never believe what happened to me. I just ran into Peter Washington, CEO of the Millionaires Group. I talked him into giving us $30 million worth of business a year. So we need to overnight 100,000 units to him pronto. Now, the boss's response was, he turned to Joe and he said, as I was saying earlier, Ted's a great guy. Look at what happened. Look at the business we're going to get. Joe said, as I was saying earlier, he forgot our food and doubled our workload. Isn't it all a positioning of perspective? Isn't it all an awareness of what we see, what our priorities are? And that is so often the difference between a positive and a negative, isn't it? How are we going to look at something as being, you know, a glass that's half full instead of half empty? It all depends on where we're coming from and how we're going to be able to handle what's in front of us. And so often, it is so easy to get stuck in the wrong kind of thinking or in an attitude where we just don't think we have any options at all. And that is really not what it's all about. There is so much going on with you, there is so much happening with you, that you really need to know that you are going to be able to have options. But remember, you can be like Joe, who is going to have an attitude of, yes, but, Or you can be like the boss that's saying, wow, look at what happened. And be like a Ted. Ted, wherever he goes, whatever he's doing, he's always looking for something. He's always got that attitude of, how can I take this opportunity to make things happen? So the Teds of the world usually are the ones that are very frustrating to the Joes of the world, because they're sort of stuck where they are, not seeing the other options. So just remember, you can be a Ted rather than a Joe, if that's what you want, and no particular preferences for those names. That's just what came with the story. This is Donna Sebo, and give me a call if you would like to chat. This is an open mic day, and you can call in to 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And I just think it's so very important to keep the eye on where you want to be. I can remember years ago, I had a job, and I was working for this company, and it was in California. And I can remember walking in to my boss, because I had this habit. Whenever the mail would come in, I was the executive secretary. I'd always go through the mail, and then I'd circle things that I thought were important. And I'd go into my boss, and I'd say, gee, were you aware of this? Have you read this? Have you checked this out? Well, he sort of didn't know what to do with me. And one day when I did this, I walked into his office with some ideas and some different things I was proposing. And he looked at me and he said, Donna, what in the world am I going to do with you? You always look at life as a glass half full instead of half empty. What do we do with somebody like you? Most of the people that I worked with were not of that mindset. Well, I have to tell you, today, that habit of circling and checking things and looking at what's interesting, that still goes on. In fact, whenever I'm preparing for shows, it's exactly what I do. And in fact, I'm going to be sharing some of the emails with those of you that have been sending me some material. And by the way, I want to thank you for this, because it's so interesting. There's no way we can be aware of everything that's going on anywhere. So with the email, we have this marvelous opportunity where we're able to interact with other people, and then they can send us what they feel we should know about. And I was sent this information, and it's about a fellow by the name of Bjorn Olson. And he lives in Hastings, Nebraska. And if you want to go into his website, you can do that. It's www.jornolsen.com. Now, he is a photographer, and he really likes weather stuff. So he's just awesome in what he's been able to capture. And what is it that he was able to capture? It's mammatus clouds. Now, I had never, ever seen this. And someone had sent me one photo of this, oh, I think it was about a month or so ago. But just over this weekend, I was sent information by someone that said, you need to check this out. And I said, you bet it. Well, these photographs are just absolutely incredible. In fact, I'd never heard of the term mammatus clouds until I saw these photographs. And they are absolutely awesome. And in fact, three of the photos that are on his website are featured on the front and back cover of the Journal of Meteorology, and this has been circulated in 26 countries. They're in full color. They're just absolutely spectacular. But just to give you a little bit of information about these clouds, they are a particular formation that not very many of us have seen them. I mean, we just don't have very much of an opportunity. Now, in Nebraska, apparently they do have these occur, and they say they typically develop on the underside of a thunderstorm's anvil, as it's called. And when the sunlight is reflecting off of them, they look like these big pouches, and they're filled with water. They are just these awesome big pouches. And they say they stay a long time in the sky if the sinking air contains large drops in snow crystals. And since the larger particles require greater amounts of energy for evaporation to occur, and eventually the mammatus clouds will dissolve. Now, there is an old wives' tale, as they call it, about the mammatus clouds. When they're seen, they're bad news. It means that a tornado is ready to come in. Well, they don't mean that at all. It's a commonly held misconception. Usually they're seen after the worst of a thunderstorm has passed. And this is what happens to them. As updrafts carry precipitation-enriched air to the cloud top, upward momentum is lost, and then the air begins to spread out horizontally, becoming a part of the anvil cloud. Now, because it's got this high concentration of precipitation particles, again, the ice crystals and the water droplets, the saturated air is heavier than the surrounding air and sinks back towards the earth. And that's how they make these real unique pouches of cloud. And the temperature of the subsiding air increases as it descends. However, since heat energy is required to melt and evaporate the precipitation particles contained within the sinking air, those pouches as you see them, the warming produced by the sinking motion is quickly used up in the evaporation of the precipitation particles. And if more energy is required for evaporation than is generated by the subsidence, the sinking air will be cooler than its surroundings and will continue to sink downward. And the subsiding air eventually appears below the cloud base as rounded pouch-like structures called the Mammatus Clouds. Again, go to his website because it's absolutely awesome. It's JORNOLSEN.com. Yes, absolutely incredible. And that, again, is Bjorn Olsen, and he lives in Hastings, Nebraska. So, gee whiz, it's such spectacular photography that you can't help but admire it and appreciate it. When you see it, it's so beautiful. You go, wow, I wonder if I'm going to have a chance to see that someday. Who knows? And then Winter, a lady back in Virginia, sent me some information, and this has been absolutely amazing. And by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me today, you'll be able to reach me at 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And for those of you in Canada, that second number is the toll-free number to call. Also, as I said, Winter had sent me a report by Vincent T. Davis, and he is an Express News staff writer. And it's all about a tree that's more than 100 years old. Now, trees are awesome anyway, but this one, being that it's as old as it is, it's really become not only an aspect of curiosity, but the lady who owns the property that this red oak tree is on is creating a little bit of excitement because Lucille Pope, that's the name of the lady, her red oak tree is causing a lot of curiosity. It's baffling tree experts, water specialists, and all the nursery professionals in town. Apparently, for the past 3 months, and she lives in the east side of her neighborhood, the tree has been gurgling out water from its trunk. They just haven't been able to figure this out. She's called experts from the Texas Forest Service, the Edwards Aquifer Authority, and nurseries, and they've come over to her house. They're probing this tree, and they just can't figure out what's going on. Now, I've got a picture of her in front of me, and she's drinking water, and it's just this simple stream of water that's coming out of the tree. Now, this all started back in April. Her son noticed the bark was smeared with sap when he went to fill his water bowl for his dog, Nino. And he noticed a wide stain that was running from the root up towards the branches, and there was fluid dripping to the ground from above. And it wasn't too much later, a few days later, he saw water streaming onto the ground from the other side, and he showed his mother what was going on. Well, they just couldn't figure it out. Now, the water's cool, like it comes from a faucet, and the only damp spot around the tree trunk is where the water is landing. And they just can't figure out what's going on. Her insurance agent said, wow, let's just see if this can do anything. And a couple people have used the water for different things. They said it's just wonderful. But she said, my son doesn't think that this is a holy tree or something special tree. There's just a curiosity here that's going on. Now, two water experts have stopped by to study this unusual sight, and I've got a second picture in front of me where this thin stream It's just like it's coming out of a water faucet. Instead, it's coming out of an opening in the tree. And they say they just don't understand it. They said, it just is so unique. We can't figure out how water pressure underneath is being forced through some kind of channel in the tree, but we just don't understand it. And the water is gurgling out through the tree about 2 feet up from the roots, and the flow is at a tenth or a twentieth of a gallon every minute. So they just really cannot figure out what it is. They have used a kit that measures water conductivity, and they said it's just like what comes out of our tap, and they really cannot figure out what's going on. Now, what's really interesting to this is that where this lady lives, Lucille Pope, there's a drought going on. So they just can't figure out what is happening at all. And they said if it's a broken water pipe, that's odd, because there's nothing that's different about Lucille's water bill, and it hasn't fluctuated at all. And she said the only fluctuation she sees in the morning is that in the morning the water flow from the tree is more forceful. And that early in the morning, the aquifers that are underneath the ground would be at a higher level in the morning. And he said with a high demand, the level would be down, and as the demand would drop, theoretically, it would go up. So they're really trying to figure out where this is, now, what's going on with this tree. Now, this is all in San Antonio, Texas. And so she said, I just want to figure out what this is. She said, it is good water. There's nothing wrong with it. Why it's coming out of my tree, I cannot figure it out. So, again, that is something that Winter sent me. And just goes to show you, Mother Nature usually has a way of dealing with things that we often do not expect is going to be happening. And don't ever think we know it all, because we certainly don't. And that tree, for whatever reason, has become a living faucet for water in an area that is going through a drought. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we've been having some technical problems today. If you want to give me a buzz, try 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, or 888-810-8322. Now, by the way, don't forget to have that pad of paper and pen handy, because I've got this wonderful brownie recipe that I know you're just going to love. Hardly any kind of cooking at all with it. So easy. And for all of this new school stuff that's going to be going on for you people that are parents, etc., this would be wonderful to take to a get-together with no stress or strain at all. Well, I know we're going to be going to break pretty soon, but before we do, I want to let you know who is going to be coming up and joining us here on the Donna Sebo Show. We're going to be talking with B.J. Gallagher tomorrow. It's Yes in the Land of No. B.J. is just a doll. I have had her on my shows before, and her stories and books are just absolutely awesome. And if you're a person who's had to deal with rejection and you go, oh, how am I going to handle this? Well, B.J. is going to give us some tips tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gran Cagnola, and it's Why Am I So Afraid? She is such a delightful lady. She's dealt with a number of issues in her own life, and dealing with fear and knowing how to work with it is something we all have to face at one time or another. And then we're going to be talking about how you can get past the 100 first lies or best lies about your first job. But you know, this book is so filled with information that if you haven't been working for a while and you're going to be going back into the workplace, these are things that will really help you. And then we're going to be having a Best of Donna on Friday for your listening pleasure. And then on the 11th, we're going to be talking to John Weiser about untapped markets. And this is something that for those of you who are in business, and I think you'll find it quite interesting. Then we're going to be talking with Timothy Bellavia. He is out of New York, and this is for children. And he has a special project that has gotten a lot of acclaim and recognition. It's titled We're All the Same Inside. Then if you have a dog and you'd like to know how to train that dog, well, we've got more than 1,000 best dog training secrets, and Robin Ackley is going to be with us. Then we're going to get into future heights. Do the best technology sort of make you a little crazy? Do you feel like things are going too fast? Stuff is just developing far too quickly. You can't keep up with it all? Well, we're going to talk with a man Bob Seidensticker, who has a particular understanding regarding technology so that you don't need to get so stressed about it. And then we're going to talk with Jaylene Corbin. Medical Misfits is the title of her story, and Jaylene is quite a gal. She went through some very, very unique experiences, and she writes this book from her heart about how you can deal with certain medical challenges and come out ahead and not feel like you have to be a victim of being ignored or perhaps having the wrong diagnosis. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. Telephone lines are open. This is a holiday open mic day, and I invite you to call in if you would like to do that. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo and my Hour of Power. Well, we have open telephone lines, and if you would like to call in and chat with me and let me light up a little bit of your life with insight, I'd be delighted to do that. All you need to do is call in to 877-876-5227. That's USA, 877-876-5227. Or toll free, 888-810-8322. Now, that's for those of you up in Canada, 888-810-8322. I had a poem that I think reflects this time of the year. We're just in the last little bit of summer. And this is by Cindy Behringer. And this is how it reads. Bathing suit and sunscreen, sunglasses and hat, ice chest and radio, umbrella and mat. While listening to the waves, troubles ease away as we enjoy the last bit of peaceful summer days. Ah, yes. Summer, before you know it, you know, those leaves are going to be falling off the trees. We're going to have the sounds and smells of autumn right with us. And speaking of sounds and smells, fall is one of my favorite times of the year. And there are so many things that come with that season. And of course, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we're not quite into that environment. We have had an absolutely spectacular summer, and it's just so gloriously gorgeous out today on this holiday. But I thought I would, along those lines, with each season, there comes the sound. With spring, usually it's the birds and all of the activity of nature as she's beginning to break out of her winter sleep. And then the sounds of summer when everybody's busy and they're cutting and cleaning and painting and pressure washing and doing all kinds of things. And there's so many sounds. Well, there's some sounds when you hear them, they're not particularly soothing. But the sounds of nature on so many people are so relaxing and soothing. And if you're living in a city, you may not find the sounds around you so soothing and relaxing, so you can use different sounds to induce a level of relaxation, a level of meditation, a stress relief. And here's some information I came across that I thought you might be fascinated with, and I've even got some websites that if you wanted to go and check them out, you can. Have you ever heard the sounds of frogs croaking at night? Well, in our part of the woods, we did for many, many years, and because of the development and everything that's gone on, we haven't heard those sounds. But they find at the National Institute of Health, when they were doing research on ways that people could relax, what sounds would make a difference with them, they found that the sounds of frogs croaking create an ultrasonic frequency that calms the human brainwaves. In fact, the sound of tree frogs is so calming that when a recording of it was made, it was brought onto the space station to help relax the astronauts staying up there. Now, if you'd be interested in checking that out, you can go to capturedambience.com, CAPTUREDAMBIANCE.com, and that's a website if you'd like to know about the frogs. And I'm sure they'll have some samples that you can listen to. Waves. Now, being from California, one of the most relaxing, soothing sounds would be to go down to the beach and to be able to just listen to the waves crashing on the sands and on the shore. And it's just wonderful. And they have found that it helps to minimize stress-related headaches, and it calms one down when those sounds are played. Now, this was conducted, a study was conducted by an academic test company that found that students who listened to the rhythmic sound of ocean waves during test time had less anxiety than those who took the test in silence, leading to better scores. Now, you can go to Amazon.com. There's all kinds of information and things you can look up regarding CDs that have these wonderful sounds. Now, when waves crash, one of the reasons that being around a beach where waves are crashing is so positive and so soothing. It emits negative ions, which make us feel energized and even boost our immunity. Can you understand why people just love to go to the Hawaiian Islands? It's just awesome. It really is something that allows you to feel a sense of harmony. And, of course, water eases pain. And they've found in research also patients that are undergoing painful medical procedures had a 43% reduction in pain just by listening to the sound of a babbling brook. Why? Because the sound brings up peaceful images in the mind that helps us to relax, which increases our pain threshold. And again, you can go to Amazon.com and find out about these different sounds of the waves and the water. Also, in many offices or many homes, I remember one particular instance, a bookstore, and this was when I was in Atlanta, Georgia. They had specific placement. They had used feng shui. They had used specific placement of fountains in their bookstore because the sounds created an environment, the running water over smooth stones. It was just amazing. And they had a meditation area that was built around this fountain that was right in the center of the store. The store was quite large, very unique design. The woman that put it together, she had looked at doing something like this for a lot of years, and boy, the response of her patrons was just wonderful. And she'd even hold classes in the center of the store around this spectacular water fountain that she had had designed. Dolphins. The whistles a dolphin makes produces a vibrational energy that causes physical changes in a person's cell structure, boosting the immune system. And people exposed to the sound waves of dolphins even heal faster from surgery. Nature has sounds that make such a difference to us. The sound of blowing wind, breezes, they call it white noise. What about a fan in a room? You can have a fan on, it's almost hypnotic. Some people it's aggravating, but for many people it's a very soothing, hypnotic sound, especially during warm weather. It soothes nerves and can even calm crying and colicky babies. And winds of white noise, you can go to purewhitenoise.com. Another sound, birds. Chirping birds, boy, can make you feel good. It's such an uplifting sound. It makes you happy and even boosts your confidence. And being around birds can even make you more social. And there's, again, the site Pure White Noise. You can go there, purewhitenoise.com. And raindrops, the sound of rain. Oh, we get it up here in the Pacific Northwest. We get it by the bucket loads. And when you listen to the rain, it can make almost anybody fall asleep. There's a healing expert, Laura DiBello. She said the monotonous sound of gently falling raindrops relaxes the nervous system, and that induces calming theta waves, brain waves. So there's just so much out there. If you find that you're having a tough time sleeping and you really don't know what to do, check out using sounds, different types of sounds. Some people like to have a fountain in their bedrooms, and it can be designed in such a way, just very soft, rhythmic tones. It can be very, very relaxing. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 is a toll-free number if you'd like to call within the U.S. Also, from Canada, call us on a toll-free line, 888-810-8322. Those are the two toll-free numbers that we have available. Okay, I have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to try out some magic chocolate almond brownies. Yes, they seemingly bake without an oven in the oven. If the temps are high where you are, that oven you don't want on any more than necessary. Okay, here we go. Here are the ingredients. Real simple. You're going to need a half a cup of whole almonds. Natural almonds, don't have to be cooked, and you want to chop them up. Then you want 20 cream-filled chocolate sandwich cookies, like your Oreos or whatever your favorite is. You want 20 of them. And you want to grind those up really fine. So just stick them in a plastic bag, and I think using a rolling pin is great. Just whack them. You can give the job to the kids. They can just roll it out over in the plastic bag. I usually like to use one of those big, a gallon-sized bag for the freezer because they're really sturdy. They're nice density of plastic. And then you're going to need one package of bittersweet chocolate chips. One package of bittersweet chocolate chips. And you want to melt those. And you can put those in the microwave and melt them, or you can melt them in a double boiler. Just make sure that the upper portion of the double boiler is really dry. There's no moisture in there. Otherwise, your chocolate will turn. And then you want one can of sweetened condensed milk, and that's a 14-ounce can. One can of sweetened condensed milk, and then you want a 3/4 teaspoon of almond extract, 3/4 teaspoon of almond extract, and one can of vanilla frosting. Now, I told you this was easy. This is one of those special treats that you can whip together, and it's just so nice. Everybody's just going to think you spent hours in the kitchen. Oh, and don't forget maraschino cherries. They're optional, but, oh, they are good to add to this. Now, you're going to need an 8-inch square baking pan, and you want to use some foil, and you want to put foil in to overhang the sides by 2 inches. And then you want to take your nonstick skillet, put it over medium heat, and then add your almonds. And you can cook them until they're lightly browned. And, oh, they just smell so good when you do that, when they're toasted. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes. You don't need any fat or anything else. You just use a warm pan. And you remove from the skillet and put it to the side. And then you can, in a bowl, combine the cookie crumbs, the chocolate chips, the milk, the almond extract, and reserved almonds. Now, all you do is press it into a pan. Yeah, that's all you need to do. Just put all of it in. Your cookie crumbs, your chips, your milk, your almond extract, and reserved almonds. Press it into the pan, and then let it stand at room temperature until it's firm. Only takes an hour. Now, how easy can that be? Now, what you do to lift it out, you've got it lined with foil, the pan, so you just take the foil, you lift the brownies from the pan, remove the foil, and then you take and put your frosting on the brownies and cut them into squares. Then you can put cherries on top if you like. Easy. I told you it was easy. Don't have to put it in the oven at all. It just seems to fix itself by magic. And you'll be the hit of the party at school or wherever you're going to be. And this is something you could make up a couple of batches and just have them ready to go. Isn't it neat? Real, real easy. That's the Magic Chocolate Almond Brownies. Yes. And there are some other goodies that I could share with you, but I'm just going to pass by on those because maybe some of you are saying, Donna, we're really trying to avoid the sweet tooth here. Well, okay. Maybe you're not wanting to have the sweet goodies around. Well, how about putting together a quick party dip? Take a cup of low-fat plain yogurt, 2 tablespoons of chopped scallions, and 2 teaspoons of dry steak seasoning, and serve it with vegetables and crackers. How does that one sound to you? Real easy, real light, low-fat, low-calories. If you don't want to use crackers, use veggies. Okay, I gave you a little bit of what we call the good stuff for the waistline and the other, the sweet stuff for the taste buds. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break for just a moment or two. When we come back, I have some more good things to share with you. And if you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, live on this holiday, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 here in the USA, or if I'm Canada, 888-810-8322. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with B.J. Gallagher, yes, in the land of no. I wanted to share some information with you that I became aware of. Our bodies have patterns to them, and there has been some research and some study on the part of some cardiologists. In fact, a Mr. Singh, who is the chairman of medicine in the cardiology department at the Bayfront Medical Center in St. Petersburg, Florida, came up with this information. He said, human earlobes are normally smooth and free of creases. Many people develop lines in their ears, however, and some studies suggest that a person with an earlobe crease is more likely to develop a heart attack. Now, he said, since 1973, More than 30 studies of a link have been reported. Now, one of the largest involved 1,000 hospitalized patients. Of the 373 who had earlobe creases, 74% developed heart disease, while only 16% of those without creases did so. In another study, having an earlobe crease and chest pain predicted a heart attack 90% of the time. Similar symptoms without a crease predicted a heart attack only 10% of the time. Now, they've done some other reports that have not been so conclusive. However, in China, they did a study. It involved 3,155 Chinese. They found that the diagonal earlobe creases were a phenomenon of aging and had no predictive significance for heart disease. So while the phenomenon is interesting, it may not be as important a predictor of heart disease as other already established and modifiable risk factors. It is likely that earlobe creases, rather than having a genetic basis, result from age-related chronic circulatory changes that allow vessels in the earlobe to collapse and produce the crease. But they say until we've got more studies on this that defines it more effectively and efficiently, it may just mean if your earlobes are creased, you may have to be more aggressive about medically monitoring your physical wellness. Isn't that a curious phenomena? So sometimes the body gives us signals about potentiality of things that we would otherwise not know how to read. And when you think of people that are really expert palmists, I have a book in my library and I'll need to drag it out one day, and it is on the art of palmistry. And it is both an art as well as a science. And there was a gentleman in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that did extensive research. And he did it especially in the prison system. And he came up with some remarkable data regarding the body and the way things are portrayed in the hands. Fascinating stuff. It really, really is interesting. It's so wonderful as human beings to be curious. Don't you think so? I think it is. And I think it's good to be curious because there may be information that we need to know more about. And just a little bit of trivia regarding history. There is a team of gem experts that assembled at the Smithsonian Institution, and they think they solved the mystery of where the 45.52 carat Hope diamond came from. And if they are correct, it hasn't been proven 100% true, if they're correct, it was cut from a 69 carat French blue diamond, and this diamond was stolen during the French Revolution. The French blue diamond, in turn, was cut from a 115-carat Tavernier diamond, named after a man who sold the Indian diamond to Louis XIV. And the Smithsonian research team made three-dimensional models of the gems based on photographs of the Hope and the historical drawings of the French blue, and the Tavernier. And using forensic geometry, which gem cutter Stephen Attaway calls using geometric clues to solve a crime, they found the three diamonds fit together perfectly. Now, historians, they have long, long suspected that the Hope diamond and the French blue diamond were once one and the same, but they didn't have any evidence linking this evaluation that they would make, this belief. The French blue diamond disappeared in 1792. 20 years later, a suspiciously similar 45.52 carat blue diamond was put on the market. By 1839, it was in the collection of London banker Henry Philip Hope. As gem cutter Scott Fletcher put it, he said, lo and behold, seemingly out of thin air, the Hope diamond appeared. But the evidence is still circumstantial. They don't have any absolute proof. They just can show that it's more than likely that it was cut. And, gee whiz, you just don't know. That kind of a diamond is so very, very rare. So the Hope diamond has mysteries surrounding it always. And what I find so interesting, it was always said that whoever had the Hope diamond, they were always going to have miserable lives. And yet the Smithsonian just seems to keep getting bigger and bigger, but maybe it's found its right home in the Smithsonian Museum, and it is gorgeous. It is absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. This is Donna Sebo, and I know that we're just about out of time. Don't forget that we're going to be with B.J. Gallagher. And also, I'd like to invite you to stop by my website and not just take a gander at the upcoming newsletter or the newsletter that just went out this weekend, but also to stop by and visit the page that I have on my site called Glyconutrients. This has become so significant in my life and in the lives of many people that I know, and it can make such a difference in yours. It really brings a whole new level of nutritional understanding to us that we've not had before. So I invite you to stop by. Also, if you want to see my newsletter, it will be up this week. Otherwise, send me an email address if you would like for me to forward it to you, because in the newsletter, I have my guests and all kinds of information available. Well, I know that this is a holiday, and wherever you are, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent weekend, and we'll be back with you bright and sassy tomorrow, same time, same place, on bbsradio.com. Donna Sebo here. Have a great day. Bye for now.